Targum, the Targum and the Targum and Rashi as what was the purpose of the Kanfei Nisharim? The Kanfei Nisharim, did they take the Jewish people from their dwelling place in Egypt to the staging area for departure? That's what Rashi says very clearly. I'm going to read Rashi again. Rashi says Hashem Kanfei Nisharim are Kinesher Hanoise. Mayor, I'm putting you on mute because a lot of noise coming from your phone. Not trying to insult you, and whenever you want to talk.
Okay, you can.
You talk whatever you want to say. You can speak up. Kinesher Hanoisi Goizolov Al Kinaf, like a nesher. We'll call it an eagle carries Goizolov. It's Goizolov. It's creatures. Al Kinafav Shekol Shorif Vesnesim Vesabineim Bein Raglei. Do we do this, Rashi? We didn't even do this, Rashi. We didn't do this part yet. Let's
no, we did, and you pointed out that. Between Onkelos and the Rashi.
Right, but we did this. We did this. I don't think we did the second Rashi. The first Rashi.
No, the first one.
The first one,
which was bringing to the Ramses city.
Zeh hayoim shebo Yisrael Ramses, the day that they came to Ramses. Shehoyu Yisrael mifuzorim b'chol eretz Goshen. They were scattered all over the land of Goshen, Ulashokala, in a very short period of time, Kishabo Lisa Velotses, Nikvitsu Kulam Ramses. Like the Ramses was like the airport. That was the departure. We are departing from gate 10. Gate 10 in Ramses. So everyone has to get to the airport. To go to the airport today is a major hassle to get to the airport. Costs a fortune also. Sometimes going to the airport costs more money than going wherever you're going. It costs a fortune to go get a car service to take you to the airport. Okay, it's a fortune. And it takes traffic, go during traffic, forget it. Where are you going? You're going to Newark? Oh, forget it. Okay, it's bad enough to go to JFK. You want to go to Newark during traffic? Forget it. Zayam Shabal Yishol Ramses, Shahal Yishol Mufuzadim Bechol Erez Goshen. I don't know what that means. We have to figure that out. Okay, basically, Rashi learns that this metaphor that Hashem brought you, Rashi seems to say that Rashi appears to be saying there weren't any eagles. There weren't any creatures. It's nothing more than a metaphor. It's a metaphor that you got to your destination very quickly. Kefitzas haderech. No one came with wings, picked you up, and carried you there. It just means that somehow, some way, you had to get to Goshen. Goshen was the departing area. That's where Klal Yisrael departed from. Everyone had to get to Ramses. Everyone lived in Goshen. Everyone had to pick themselves up and reach Ramses, the airport. And there was a lot of traffic, and it was congested. And a miracle happened, no one knows how. Somehow, everyone very quickly was able to assemble in Ramses. Quickly, period, Zehu. Onkelos doesn't say that. Onkelos, we learned yesterday, we're going to elaborate upon this. Onkelos says, I'm in the wrong place, the resources. Ablazer told me how to do this. When we first started, he told me how to do this. The Targumim, Targ Onkelos and Shemos, Atun Chazitun di Avodis Limitsroyim, Unetilus. I took you, Yoschon Kida'al Gadfe, like Kida'al, like, not Mamish, it's Kida'al. So it's also very important that the Targum agrees with Rashi that it does not mean they were actually birds. They were special creatures that we hopped on their wings and it says Kidilal, similar. It's a metaphor. You arrived with swiftness. Kida'al Gadfei Nishan, like as if you went on the wings of eagles, Vikore vis yoschoin lefol choni, and I brought you near my service. Doesn't say that word in the Pasuk. It says, Eloi to me. Rashi learns, Eloi to me, to Ramses. That's the area where we will depart from. Here it says lefol choni. So we learned yesterday this incredible pshat. It is the whole sefer alone is worth it for me just for this vart. is to make a shteltzu that when it says lefol choni, it means Har Sinai. How do you know it means Har Sinai? Because when Klal Yisrael were in Egypt and Hashem came to Moshe, the burning bush, and Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. Moshe said, when what zuchus? Zuchus? Biotziacha esa'om mimitzrayim ta'avdun. You will serve Hashem upon this mountain. What is the translation of the word ta'avdun, to serve? It's lefol choni. Lefol choni. So therefore, this word lefol choni is coming to match up to what Hashem said to Moshe at the very, very beginning. Moshe was on Har Sinai. The burning bush was on Har Sinai. And Hashem said to Moshe, I'm going to take them out of Egypt. I'm going to bring them to this spot, this very spot, and you're going to accept the Torah. And the way that Hashem used the word to accept the Torah, ta'avdun, you will serve me upon this mountain. Here we are. Hashem brought us now to this mountain in rapid time. What is the rapid time? The rapid time, according to this, means, this is a very big chiddush now, from a year ago, from the time that Hashem spoke to Moshe on the mountain by the burning bush until now. How long will a period of that time was? That was approximately about a year. It was approximately 1 year. The Makos were approximately 1 year. Moshe, Hashem spoke to Moshe only a year ago, when he was 80 years old. Now he's 81 years old. So what are the chances? Could you imagine? Hashem comes to Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, in 1 year from now, 3 million Jews are going to be standing on this spot. Think about that. What? In 600,000 men over the age of 20, which adds up to 3 million Jews, with women and children, and those below the age of 20, Hashem says to Moshe, right now, we're here all alone. We're on this mountain, this burning bush, and here we are. And I'm telling you that in a year from now, 3 million Jews are going to be standing here, and I'm going to give them the Torah. What would you say? Impossible. Impossible, impossible. The plan that you want to implement will take generations. Generations. To go down to Egypt, to talk to people, to negotiate, to encourage them. It would take literally 100 years in order to rally the people to rebel, to escape Egypt, and to come to a mountain and be mekabel the Torah. It would take 100 years, at least. You're telling me now that in a year from now, there are going to be 3 million Jews standing on this mountain? Impossible. Impossible. And Hashem says, why is it impossible? It's going to happen. I brought you here in warp speed, like Star Trek, warp speed. I'm going to bring you here. It's going to happen so quickly. You're not going to believe it. It's like I put you on the wings of a Nesher and you fly 1,000 miles an hour and you're at your destination. I'm going to accelerate time. I'm going to make things happen so quickly. I'm going to bring Klal Yisrael here. I mean, isn't this an amazing part? See, there are two major differences between Rashi and Unkelus. Number one is location. According to Unkelus, according to Rashi, the swiftness of time was from Goshen to Ramses. It's a very short distance. It's like I gotta be at the airport, catch a flight in a half an hour. If I get in the car right now, can I possibly be at the airport in half an hour? Impossible. But if there's a helicopter outside and they drop down a rope and a ladder and I climb up the ladder into the helicopter, they can get me there in 15 minutes. So they went from Goshen to Ramses. They got from Brooklyn to the airport in record time. According to Unkelus, no, we're not dealing with Goshen to Ramses. We're dealing with from Egypt to Har Sinai, and it doesn't just mean Egypt to Har Sinai. It means from when the time that Hashem spoke to Moshe at the burning at Har Sinai a year ago, when Moshe didn't even start. Here we are, it's me and you, Hashem and Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I'm telling you, you go to Paro, you tell him this, tell him that, you do the oisos, and within a year, 3 million people will be standing right here. So it's the swiftness of time and the swiftness of location. From Egypt to Har Sinai, and it's all going to happen within 1 year. It's like a miraculous experience, kanfei nesharim. That's unkelus. That is how this sefer, if not for the sefer, who would ever imagine to say such a chiddush? Who's he saying in the name of? He's saying this in the name of, this is verse 4. Okay, I'm going to read this inside. Ukerevis yoschoin lefol chuni, kimosha kosov ta'avdon es ho'elokim alohor hazeh. Ayin Ibn Ezra. Okay, this is the Ibn Ezra came to the rescue. This Ibn Ezra is an out-of-the-ballpark home run. A lot of the things that Ibn Ezra, we always discuss this in the morning, a lot of the things that the Ibn Ezra says are not accepted. They're like, we don't want to hear this. It's so way out. He says things that are very difficult to comprehend. And he says things like I told you many times, Rav Chaim Kanievsky told this Rav Zicherman, you asking me a kasha from the Ibn Ezra? You're coming to shlug me off from the Ibn Ezra? Excuse me, you can't shlug me off from the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is Kodesh Kodashim, but he's not mainstream. The things that he says are totally way out. And we don't necessarily take what he says very seriously. But here, he says an idea that is just out of the ballpark. It's unbelievable. Then Avol Haramban. Okay, now he goes on to discuss this more, this sefer. I see those three lines that I just read is worth the price of this whole sefer. Whatever the sefer cost, $25, just for those three lines, it was kedai. Mamash kedai just for those three lines. This is an incredible insight. I always wondered about this. The kanfei nesharim. What is this? What is the kanfei? What is this? What is this all about over here? What kind of kanfei nesharim? What's the tzchuda? He says, mamish, unbelievable from what it says here. Unkelus, vataych is unkelus. What it means, and also clarify that it doesn't mean mam. It means ki da'al, a swiftness of time. Okay, then he goes further and he writes, Ramban Kosa, Avol Ramban Kosa, Avi Eschem Eloi, Hum El Mokem Kivoidi, Ahor Azea Shechanti Shani Mohem, I dwelt in Mohem. All right, same idea. Vungulis Shatirgim Vikaribis Lupolcha, Nidir Kavish Lamaila, Tophas the Atzmai, Kalem Eloi Boim, Lashem Ela, Oivdim Lufonov, Rivia Tagim Nusachatil, Bokem Shoshogam, the Kraftan Makil Lavoidus. Oh, look what he says now. Wow, look at this. We say this on the Shalosh Regalim. V'keiraftanu malkeinu la'avoido secha. What does that mean? So the Ramban says in the Nusach HaTzfila, it doesn't mean Hashem brought us to Har Sinai. Hashem brought us to His service. V'keiraftanu malkeinu la'avoido secha. He brought us close to serve you, Hashem, to daven to you. It's a general term. So the Ramban wants to learn that when the uncle is taiched, that I brought you on kanfei neshama v'korei vis yoschoin lefol choni, it's basically the same thing like what we say in davening, v'keiraftanu malkeinu la'avodasecha. And there in every city will tell you, no one will dare say Har Sinai. They'll say v'keiraftanu malkeinu la'avodasecha. We serve Hashem in America. You serve Hashem, you come to shul, you daven, you learn. You serve Hashem, v'keiraftanu malkeinu la'avodasecha. We serve you, Hashem. But if you want to be bold, why can't you say that in the Nusach HaTzvilah it means Har Sinai? Why can't we take what it says here in this sefer and go backwards and say, now that we have this beautiful unkelus, and v'korei this yoschon l'fol choni, and in the context, according to the Ibn Ezra, it means that Hashem brought Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai to be mekabel the Torah. So maybe in the Nusach HaTfilah, when we say the Keraftana Malkein Lavoy the Secha, it's referring to Har Sinai. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He did for us miracles. He took us out of Mitzrayim. And He brought us to Har Sinai to accept the Torah. maybe we can learn a different pshat in the Nusach HaTfilah. HaMishal Shadolim. Okay, we'll leave with that. Now it goes further. Next. We'll go to the next. Okay, by the way, Elu, this you can say something very nice, and you can say like this. What's the age-old question? Ilu kervanu lifnei har Sinai, v'loi nosan lanu es haTorah, dayenu. The Velt's kasha, the ganze Velt is the kasha. Ilu kervanu lifnei har Sinai, v'loi nosan lanu es haTorah, dayenu. What? What's dayenu? Hashem takes the Saudi Arabia, and the desert, and the sand, the Har Sinai, and He doesn't give us dayenu. What's dayenu? What does it mean? This is a very popular question. So what are the popular answers? One answer is because the Achdus, when they came to Har Sinai, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ohar Ki Ish Echod Belev Echod. Ah, the Darga of Achdus. Others say Kevonu Lefnei Har Sinai, the anticipation. Yeah, there are different answers. But now, based on what we have learned, we have a new answer. Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, Hashem brought us to Har Sinai to experience the impossible. Because when you say Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, what does it mean according to the Targum, what we learned in Ibn Ezra? What does it mean? It means that Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem is standing with Moshe on Har Sinai, by the burning bush, the Hasneh in Ugal. Moshe, I'm telling you, in 1 year from now, 3 million people are going to be sitting on this mountain. What would you say? What are you talking about? Egypt? Egypt, no one leaves Egypt. A slave never escaped Egypt. They may have escaped Alcatraz, but no one ever escaped Egypt. Klal Yisrael, they're not interested. They're not even interested in leaving Egypt. What are you talking about? You're going to get them to walk lechtech acharai ba midbar bi eretz loy zeruah? What are you talking about? It's impossible. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu by the burning bush, b'yotziyacho es omim mitzrayim, ta'avdun es elokim alohor hazeh. They're going to serve me on this mountain. When? In a year from now. After we look back at the whole story in 1 year from now, possible, it happened. Forget about accepting the Torah. Just bringing 3 million people, convincing them to travel in the desert, to come to this place, even if at the end of the day they say, you know what, we don't want the Torah. We're not going to accept it. It's too hard for us. Or Hashem will retract. Just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can prove himself to pull this off, it's not to be believed. It's not to be believed. You have a whole new mahal, a whole new pshat in the Haggadah, the Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai, V'lo Nasan Lanu Es haTorah. It's amazing stuff here. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to now go back and learn the beginning of the Rashi, because we didn't do the whole Rashi. There's more in this pasuk. Pasuk Atem Re'isin. Now, let's go. This part is a beautiful part. We mentioned this yesterday. Loi ma'asar esibiyatchem. It's not a tradition. Loi bidvar mani mishagelachem. I didn't say words to you. I didn't testify that I'm a god. No one. How do you know that I exist? How do you, the Jewish people, know that I exist? Did witnesses come and testify? No. Did Hashem speak to you? No. Hashem revealed Himself. A'ela atem re'isim. You have a tradition? No. Ela, this is the fundamentals of Judaism. Atem re'isim asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You witness with your own bare eyes what I did. Al kama averus chayuchayav l'nikodim sh'nizav l'lchem. The Egyptians were deserving of death from ancient times. V'lo nefrati mehem ela al yetchem. They were only punished. Ela al yetchem, only because of you. You saw your own eyes how Hashem cares for you. Okay. Now, then we have one more part of the Rashi over here. I brought you al kanfei nisharim, a metaphor. And what is this? Kanesher Hanoise Goizolov Alkanofov. A Nesher has a unique characteristic that it carries its children on its wings. Why? All of the birds, they carry their children between their feet. Why? Between the little feet, because they're afraid of a bird that flies on top of you. If they would put their children on their wings, they can be afraid that there might be a bird that's flying on top of them, and will see that there are little chicks on the wings of this creature. And the one that's on top will swoop down and steal the birds, steal the children. So every bird is always afraid to carry their children on their wings, because every bird knows that there are other birds out there that fly higher. And when you're higher, you have a bird's eye advantage. You have an advantage of seeing what's below you and coming down and stealing from what's below you. So every bird, they're only afraid of people, because people can shoot arrows from the ground upwards. But it's not afraid of what's on top. So therefore, the Nesher is the only bird who carries its children on top of its wings. Oimer, what about, and therefore the Nesher is better, I'll put the children on my wings. In case an arrow is shot, I'll take the hit. A human shield. The Nesher is a human shield. Oimer, what if you call it a chitz bi, v'loi b'vini. Af ani osi, sich in Hashem did the same thing. They would shoot arrows and missiles. And the cloud would be mekabel. The cloud would receive the cloud, which is the Shechina of Hashem. The amud onan represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take the hit. That's why the metaphor over here is. The metaphor is the kanfei nesharim, and amud ha'anon went from before and went behind in order for the amud ha'anon to absorb the missiles and the arrows and the projectiles that were being shot at by the Egyptians towards Klal Yisrael. Just like the Nesher says, I'll take the hit, I'll let you go in front, I'll go on top of me. All right, now, Targum, we have to read over here what it says over in the Targum. Then when it's over here, the avia is somebody like Targum. Okay, fine. Now, over here it says, L'meipak, V'na telis, V'asi l'shoin shol kovayd, V'lchein lo'itikim b'na unitolis, Shet perushay v'esa. Question, Kato, V'yesh l'far sh'ein l'loshin masa, L'loshin harama, Al-kan v'yesh g'orsin v'a telis, V'asi eschen tikin esad avu d'ech kovayl l'ma l'klam, V'asi eschen tikin esad avu d'ech kovayl l'ma myself, Allah Alright, I don't know what this means, so therefore we're gonna leave it with that. We're gonna go to the next pasuk. Okay, we'll go to the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk says as follows. V'yatoh now, im shmar tishmu b'koli, if you will listen to my voice, u'shmartem esprisi, my covenant, you'll go my covenant, v'yisim li sigulo, mikol ho'amim, and you will be a special nation, a sigulo, ki li, to me is chol ha'aretz. What is this pasuk really coming to say? So let's see what it says in Rashi first. Rashi says, V'atah now, im atah tekablu aleichem, yerav lochem mikan ve'elech, shekol hascholos koshos. Ooh. If you will accept upon yourself now, what's atah? Atah means now. Now it's difficult. It is a very difficult thing for you to accept the Torah right now. I acknowledge that it's difficult. But you have to appreciate shekol hascholos, all beginnings are koshos. But if you'll do it, then yerav lochem mikan ve'elech, it will be sweet. How do you see that in the pasuk? V'yatoh now. Now, im shmar tishu v'kol hashem l'shmar tishu v'yisi v'yisim v'skul mikol amim, ki li kol aretz. Okay, I'm not sure I really don't know what Rashi is saying, something very deep over here. But the main thing that we do derive is atah means now. There's something unique about the moment. And the uniqueness about the moment is it's very difficult. There is indeed a degree of difficulty that's going to take place now that you need to absorb, and later things will get better. Okay, next. Ushmartem, you will guard as Brisi. She'echrois imochem al shmiras ha-Torah. You will guard the covenant that I will forge with you regarding the Torah. You'll be a skula. What is a skula? In oitzor choviv, a precious treasure. How do they translate this in English? A cherished treasure. Is that the correct word for an oitzer? I don't know. Oitzer kumo usgulas melachim. Skulas melachim, how do they translate this? And treasures of kings. A treasure. You will be for Hashem a treasure. A clay yakar, a special utensil that's va'avonim toivois, and beautiful stones, sha'amalochim, goinzim ma'isam, which a king puts away for safekeeping. Kachatem, so to you, the Jewish people, to you, the segula, mishar, umas, you will be for me special, more so than all of the nations. V'le'samratem levatchem shali, and don't say, atem levatchem shali, ve'ein li achedim imachem, u'mayeshli oid shadehi chibaschem nikeres. What does that mean exactly? What does it mean? Kach atem tilus kumishar humas. Velois soimru atem levatchem shali. Don't say you alone are mine. Ve'ein li acherim imachem. Umayeshli oid. What do I have more? Shetehei chibaschem nikeres. Kili kol aretz vehein be'enai ulefonai l'chlum. They are in my eyes and before me as nothing. I don't really know what this means. I don't really understand this. Let me read over here what it says in English. Skula means a cherished treasure. The same as, okay, costly vessel, precious stones, which in the same manner shall ye be unto me a cherished treasure more than other people's. Now, do not say that ye alone belong to me and that I have no other peoples together with no people together with you. And what else therefore have I by which the special love I bear you can be made evident? This is not so. Why not? But in my eyes, I don't know what this means. I don't understand what he's trying to say. He's saying over here is in order to be a segula, it has to be contrast. In other words, like this. If everyone is the best, no one's the best. If you have a yeshiva, and every boy in the yeshiva is the best boy, everyone's the best, then no one is the best. It's not good. In life, there has to be madregos. You are an A, and you are a B, you are a C, you are a D, and the other guy is an F. For some reason, the E, I don't know, got lost somewhere in the alphabet. It's not a healthy situation. We have a society where everyone is the best, where everyone is equal. Much of greatness, the whole essence of greatness is that there are individuals that stand head and shoulders above other people. They need the contrast. You need there to be people that are not 100% in order so that the people that are 100% shine. The reason why they shine is because they have excelled above people that are not 100. They're only 90s, they're only 80s, they're C's, they're D's, they're B's. If everyone is an A, no one is an A. So here's the question that Rashi appears to be addressing, which I don't understand the answer, is if Hashem says, you will be to me a segula mikol ha'amim, so that means we're special. It's not just that we're special. We are the only thing that really exists. Everything else is garbage. If you have dignified nations, you have chashav people, and then you have Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael stands head and shoulders above, So us, contrast to them, we're called a segula. If you have a lot of, you have gold. Gold is choshev. Why? Because gold is rare. Most metal is not. It's bronze, it's silver, it's copper, it's cheaper metals. So because there are metals that are not so expensive, that are very common, that's what makes gold what it is. Gold is gold because of the contrast between gold and silver. Gold is rare. It's not easy to come by. It has certain qualities that silver does not have. And that's the milest that gold has over silver is what makes gold special. But if everyone is gold, then gold is not special. So if we are called a segula, by definition, that means we are great relative to other people who are not great. Who are those people that are not great, which we use as a benchmark to allow our greatness to shine and show itself? The Atan, I'm sure you'll be to me a segula mikol ha'amim. I think that's what it means to say is, if you would just say in the pasuk v'yisam li segula, period. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. If all the pasuk would say, v'yatana im shmarti shamakoli, v'shman v'esbuisi, v'yisam li segula, period. You'll be precious to me. What does that mean, precious? You love everyone. Everyone is precious. Every person is created in the Tzelem Elokim. So everyone is precious. Big deal. No. Segula mikol ha'amim. There are 69 other nations that exist. And I tolerate them. You, Klal Yisrael, you stand head and shoulders above them. The segula of Klal Yisrael is our contrast to the amim. That's what it seems Rashi is saying. Reading something with Rashi, Rashi says, "Kach atem tulisku mikol shamim, v'loy mikol mishor ha'umois." The key words in Rashi here, you are a segula mishor ha'umois. Why are those words necessary? Rashi answers, "V'loy soimru." Don't say, "Atem levatchem shali." Listen, we're Hashem's people. The Ein Li and Hashem does not have anyone else. The Ein Li Acherim Imochem. He doesn't have anyone else. If Hashem doesn't have anyone else but us, we're all he has, so then we're not really special because there's no contrast. What else does Hashem have that we can see that we are different than everyone else? Oh, Hashem says, I have something else. I have 69 nations in this world, and you stand above and beyond them. That makes you special. Now, what's interesting about that is that what happens if nations come to an end? What happens if let's say the time of Mashiach comes, there are certain nations which go extinct and they don't exist? Then we've lost our. Then we only stand above and beyond. Now let's say, for example, let's say when Mashiach will come, there's only going to be left in this world 10 nations. 10 nations. All the left will be 10 nations. That's all we'll have left when this world comes to an end. So there'll be us and 10 nations. Our specialness is nothing so great. Because our specialness is only that we're above 10 nations. At the time of Matan Torah, our specialness was that we were above 70, 69 nations. The more nations there are, the more our uniqueness, our skula, manifests itself. So why am I saying this? Because we learned, when did we learn? We learned in the morning in Tehillim the word Sog. Kulam nasoig, all of the nations are nasoig, sos, are sog. And one of the Farshim there says, what's the word sog? It's the gematria of 63. What 63? So I don't know this all this Torah. There are times of Mashiach, four nations will be extinct. Four nations of this world dissolved and cease to exist. So then we're only special over 63 of the 70 nations. Because let's say there's a total of 71, this Klal Yisrael is 70. If only 63 are left and four are gone, so we're only special above, we're only special on top of, we're all, our specialty is only above 63, not over 70. That is a diminishment of our specialty. Because specialty demands contrast to nations that are not special. The more nations there are, the more of a greatness we have. The less nations that exist, the less special we are. There's some element to that. There's some concept to that. Now, it's hard for us to imagine that. It's like, leave us alone. Just leave us alone. But there is such a principle that the greatness, again, has to be defined by contrast to other nations. All right? So that's what it says over here in this post, this Rashi. What does Unkelus say? Unkelus, we have to see Unkelus and we'll stop. Targum on this pasuk says, Targum Unkelus. Ucha'a now. Im kabola se kablun the name, if you'll accept my words, the sitrun yos koimi, and you will guard my covenant, usachoin ka dama, you'll be before me, cha bivin. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Machloikis between Rashi and the Unkelis. Exactly our goal here, the machloikis, because according to Rashi, segula, special, is an oitzer toif, is a treasure, and he says, chavivin, beloved. According to the parish of Unkelus, it's not an object. According to Rashi, it's an object. According to Unkelus, it's love. Mikol amamaya are di li kol ahura, to me is the entire world. Okay, what does it say here in the Sefer? It says, I'm sure must say, you'll accept. Chabivin, v'chein perish rash segul, oitz ha-chavev ha-mil l'zul ha-meramez, av l'nimtis v'kim v'loshen ha-kosov, av chavev ha-mim. Targum segula, v'loshen ram, chavivin, ula ramez, mashkoz b'sifrei, v'am shekol echad, v'yechad chav v'chav v'nei kodesh baruch hu. All right, I don't know, I think there's a machlokes. Because the word chavivin means, in my book, it means an emotion of love. According to Rashi, it's not an emotion, it's an object that has a defined value in the eyes of the world. It's not a feeling of emotion, it's just a mitzias of an object. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we made a machlekes Rashi and Unkelus over here as well, and we learned the Tavdun, and what else did we learn today? That's really it. Okay, it was two things that we did today. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you very much for coming and listening. Have a good night. All the best.
If they came from Goshen to Ramses by helicopter,
yeah.
So why were they afraid of the Yamsuf? Why were they afraid of?
No, they didn't go. I told you they didn't go by birds. They arrived there in record time. That's what Rashi also agrees. Rashi doesn't mean they went on birds. It means they just arrived there, even though it's gridlock traffic. Hashgacha Pratis.
It's a metaphor.
It's according to both Rashi and Unkelus, it's a metaphor. It does not mean they boarded.
Yeah, but Kante de Sherm is a very
metaphor. So you go look at the Targum Yonis Menuzil.
It could have said Keherathayim.
Oh, so other Mepharshim Taka say, go look at Targum Yonis Menuzil Taka. They were special birds. They lined up and you boarded them. You got on them like you watch these. Why? Because they were no confident in the Sharm by the Yam. They were no confident in the Sharm by the Yam.
Land at the last minute and pick him up.
I hear what you're saying. I don't. You're asking a good kasha. Where were the confident in the Sharm when they came to the Yam? Take him across the river. Take them across.
I can understand, you know.
Take them across. Well, if they took them this far, why couldn't the confident in the Sharm take him the next step? I hear what you're saying.
No,
I don't know.
Or if you learn like. Unkelus says that it wasn't from Goshen, it was from Tamar Sinai.
Right. Midbar. So what happened all of a sudden? What happened all of a sudden now?
No, well, there was no problem. That's right. Why they were afraid of the Mitzrayim. And afterwards, they were so used to this It was no big deal to them. After watching the Kriyas Yam Suf, to go on counting the Sharm is no big deal.
Okay.
I hear. Makes more sense than having them come to Goshen to give them a ride. You're waiting for the bus, and suddenly a tank drives up and says, jump right up. You know?
Police car.
Yeah. I'm reading a book, a fiction book, printed in 2014, about drones.
Yeah.
It's about small drones, like the size of a bird, and they all are AI. They communicate one with another.
They have, the Chinese have it. Did you see the video a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, they have it.
They have like 100 of them, a swarm of them.
Right.
They all talk to each other, and they all maneuver. They maneuver in the most sophisticated way.
Yeah.
And I think they show they can go through a forest. It's amazing. They go through a dense forest, and they don't crash not into the trees and not into each other. Into each other. Yeah. It's unreal. This cannot. They show, and what's so amazing is not only are they able to see the trees and the branches and the leaves and not, but they also, when they veer to the side not to hit the tree, they communicate with each other and they don't crash into each other. And there's a swarm of them, a massive swarm of them, and they can arm them with weapons, with who knows what. It's not to believe what they can do.
This is all separated. This is at least almost 10 years old. Really,
so can you imagine what they can do today?
Yeah.
Like you said, Biden probably is a robot.
Yeah.
He's probably operating a Chinese robot.
What idiot he talks about.
I hope so. The country should wake up.